Track 1. Introduction. Welcome to the Victoria Park Memoryscape Trail.
Warning. Please note the following information and instructions for your own health and safety. This memoryscape is designed to help you appreciate the features and history of Victoria Park. The park is 1.5 miles long and divided into two parts by Grove Road. Please be aware of your surroundings and treat the park as you would any other area open to traffic. Consider your personal safety at all times and keep valuables out of sight and reach. The park closes at dusk, so please make sure you have enough time to reach the end of the memoryscape before the gates are closed. The council, on its own behalf and on behalf of its employees and agents, does not accept liability for loss of or damage to property, nor for any other liability except that which cannot by law be excluded.
Hello. My name is Nigel, and I've been living next to Victoria Park for over 9 years. Today, I'd like to show you around and introduce you to a few locals who can tell you a bit about the hidden history of the park. Did you know that prisoners of war used to live here in the 1940s? Or that people used to swim naked in the lakes? We'll find out more about all these things later on. Make sure you have the trail map with you. The location and number of each track is marked with a suggested route, starting at the Pavilion Cafe. When you're outside the cafe, keep the lake to your right and start walking. As you listen, do watch out for any joggers or cyclists that might come past. Henry John Bradley, a local resident who has used the park for over 70 years, will tell us why it was built. Let's go.
There was a big petition went up in the reign of Queen Victoria about the amount of smog that was in London at the time, because it was all coal fires, wasn't it, and wooden fires, and factories turn out tons of smoke. I think there's about 30,000 people signed a petition to Queen Victoria, or she got to hear about it, about having somewhere for the EastEnders to go and get a bit of fresh air.
You can pause the track now if you wish, and then push play again when you are ready. Find somewhere quiet? Good. Let me tell you a bit about why the park was originally constructed. In the first half of the 19th century, the population of Wapping, Stepney and Poplar grew quickly. The opening of the docks meant that ships had to be loaded and unloaded from all over the world. This, along with textile and manufacturing industries, attracted a very diverse workforce with large local Jewish and Irish communities. Local historian Ken Warpole describes the cheap, overcrowded houses that most of these workers lived in.
No, of course, none of these houses had gardens. They may have had a small yard at the back. Certainly the yard would have been where the toilet was. There wouldn't have been any bathroom in the house. And the park was everything. It's where they met, where they courted, where they, you know, went on the Saturday or Sundays to get out of the family. And it's very difficult, really, to overemphasise just how important parks were in overcrowded urban areas.
In 1839, a physician, Dr. William Farr, analysed the causes of death of people in the area and argued that epidemics like cholera and tuberculosis could be prevented by improving living conditions in the East End of London. He argued that better sanitation and the establishment of a large park for recreation could improve the overall health of local people and save thousands of lives each year. The following year, George Young, a local MP, launched a campaign for a park in a nearby pub. Eventually, a petition with more than 30,000 signatures was presented to Queen Victoria, and, with her approval, the park was planned and carried out by the architect James Pennethorne.